With the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart, be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. The sermon for today, the second Sunday after Easter, Good Shepherd Sunday, is written by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church. Today, the second Sunday after Easter, is Good Shepherd Sunday, bringing with it the focus on the biblical imagery of shepherds and their sheep. Concern with sheep is an alarmingly contemporary matter also. One of the enduring images of my trip to England will always be the videotapes of the funeral pyres of thousands of sheep who were thought to be suffering from foot and mouth disease. Sheep are dying in droves in England. This was several years ago when Archbishop Calhoun visited England. And that fact is affecting the national economy and the national temper. Going back a couple of years, we see the sweet, stupid face of Dolly the sheep as on of the oncoming global crisis of overcloning. Sheep appear in the Bible first in the fourth chapter of Genesis, which describes Adam and Eve's son Abel as a keeper of sheep. Abel looks good by comparison with his farmer brother Cain, but Abel pays for his superiority with his life. That begins the rather curious biblical connection of sheep with death. Ancient Israel was a nomadic culture, and its economy was based in large part on sheep herding. That is why so many important Old Testament figures are shepherds. The patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Amos, the prophet, for example. The most prominent shepherd is also the most prominent Old Testament character of all, King David. David comes to public notice in Israel when he uses his sheep-guarding skills to kill the Philistine champion Goliath with a slingshot. We also know David as Israel's greatest songwriter. The psalms which he composed probably grew out of the songs he played on his harp while he spent long periods in the fields with his sheep. Over time, the relationship between the shepherd and his sheep became a poetic way of talking about the relationship between God and his people. The Hebrew Bible describes God taking care of his people and leading them and keeping them out of danger and feeding them and getting them back onto the right track when they wander off. And boy, will they do that. All the things a shepherd does for his sheep. God shared his shepherding responsibilities with the leaders of Israel, especially her priests and kings. But they were not as good at it as God was. They looked at their sheep as objects to be exploited rather than as creatures to be tended lovingly. God promised that someday he would send Israel a proper shepherd who would do right by them. The promise of a good shepherd to make up for the bad shepherds was like a promise of a good king to take the place of the bad kings and a good priest to take over from the bad priests. All of these roles are fulfilled at the same time in Jesus. In today's gospel, he says, "You have been waiting for a good shepherd to come along and to do what God promised in the Old Testament. I am the good shepherd." The section of a somewhat longer speech, which the prayer book appoints this morning, contrasts Jesus, the good shepherd, with a hireling or hired man. The shepherd will risk his life for the sheep because they belong to him. The hireling will run away when danger comes because the sheep are not his. He has no personal stake in them. That gives us a test for the quality of leadership. How far is any leader, whether of a family or a church or any other sort of organization, how far is the leadership willing to go to promote the welfare of the people for whom he is responsible? Jesus paid the ultimate price for us when he died on the cross. One of our hymns says, Lo, the good shepherd, for the sheep is offered. And in this morning's epistle, St. Peter points out that when Jesus, the good shepherd, gave up his life for his sheep, he did it without whining and complaining. St. Peter says we should profit from his example and try to act as he acted. Jesus had done nothing for which he deserved to suffer. But when he suffered, he didn't complain about it. St. Peter says there is nothing remarkably wonderful about enduring suffering you deserve without whining about it. What is truly remarkable is to put up with suffering you don't deserve without complaining, just as Jesus did. That enabled Jesus to put up with his undeserved suffering without complaining about it was his confidence that God could make everything come out right in the end. St. Peter says Jesus committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Faith in God means confidence and trust that he will make everything come out properly in the end, no matter how unpromising things seem to be for the moment. Good Shepherd Sunday comes in the Eastertide to remind us of the connection between what God did on Easter and what God did for Israel at the Passover, with its sacrifice of a spotless lamb. But Good Shepherd Sunday comes in Eastertide also to underscore the fact that Jesus' death and resurrection is a supreme example of how much God loves us. Sheep are cute and cuddly, but sheep are also stubborn and headstrong. God knows all that about us, and he loves us anyway. For ye were sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of us. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.